All right, so we're doing this in 3, 2, and 1. How's it going, everybody? This is me again, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
You sound very peppy today, Monica.
Yeah, it's the weekend, dude. It's I'm excited. Time to rest finally after a really, really long week.
I miss working the weekdays and having the weekends off, my friend.
Yeah, it's nice. It's pretty nice.
I mean, I really can't complain because I'm doing part-time job right now, so I'm off like 3 days here, 2 days there, kind of like randomly. But I mean, I have multiple weekends in 1 week.
Nice.
I mean, I'm not making, well, whatever. That's not here nor there, but bills are getting paid, and that's important. Well, I had an okay day at work, I guess. It was actually kind of, it went by fast. I met up with some friends for lunch, so that was cool. I hadn't
Nice.
seen them in a while, so it was the first time that I didn't meet up in a restaurant. We met up at, somewhere else, in an office to have lunch.
Nice.
So yeah, I took a longer lunch than usual, but I mean, whatever. It's all good. So I'm happy that I got to see my friends for the first time in like forever. Hang out, and we all agreed to do that again later, very soon. So,
Yay.
happy Chewy
Yes.
is happy. So, Monica, let's go ahead and remind our listeners of our social media accounts. We have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is MythsBehindLGDS, and you can also email us at MythsBehindLegends@gmail.com.
Alright, so we have our Letterboxd in which you can follow us, and it's basically a movie blog type of website. You can create lists, you can follow people, you can review movies, etc. And that's what we do. We have a watch list under, in which we have close to, I believe, 30 to 40 movies listed. And if you want to suggest a movie from that list, or if you want us to add a movie to that list so that we can consider that for the future in the episode ahead of our timeline here, we can do that for you. And the coolest part of our intro segment, Monica.
That's drum roll right there.
So we have our website under myths hyphen behind hyphen legends dot mailchimpsites.com.
Yes.
I like the little bob head weave thing
Yeah.
you were doing. Like, it was kind of like a, what do I want to call it? Like, yeah, you were like weaving but
Sway.
also headbanging, so it was kind of like a nice a nice motion you got. Yeah, going there for a minute.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes, I shall copy that dance move the next time I'm in a club, my friend.
Got it. I'm glad that you find them that like awesome.
You are my inspiration. I feel like I'm watching Dancing with the Stars right now.
Okay.
So, Monica, you want to tell our audience what our episode will be about today?
Yes, today we're swapping stories with some very, very cool people. So keep listening, people.
Yes, we are very fortunate and very grateful that we had gracious hosts for this episode. They are none other than Christina and MJ from A Spooky Tales podcast. Want to go? Which I am in complete like admiration at. No, but I really mean that. I mean, they really do a great job in their podcast. People that are listening to us should listen to them as well. So hopefully you all in the audience enjoy our swapping up stories with them, because we kind of covered pretty much everything, right? I mean, at the point of us recording this intro, that already happened. It's about to happen
Yes.
for you, but it already happened for us.
We're already in the past. You guys are about to go into the future.
And we're also in the future whenever you listen to us, so we're like,
It's true.
we are like breaking all the boundaries of space and time, Monica,
We are. I'm so proud of us. So
right now. We are about to present something to you that already happened, but it has yet to happen to you, so how's that for a mind blown? So yeah, go ahead and stick around after this little break. We are going to be joined by them, and we hope you enjoy our segment. We'll be right back. guys, to the moment of truth for this episode, in which we are delighted to have some great company, right, Monica?
Yeah.
So we have none other than Christina and MJ from Spooky Tales. And I want to wish you both a warm EMBL welcome. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, I'm excited.
I am too. And I'm going to go full disclosure. I am in fanboy mode right now. I may not seem that way because I'm normally a pretty chill individual. Even when I'm drunk, actually, I get really quiet and like, philosophical. And I'm not like this typical. Like,
I'm like in the corner, like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm not the typical Mexican guy drunk that just goes, ah, like, I mean, yeah.
But, no crying during rancheras? Like, what?
I cry in the car on the drive home.
Oh my god.
So el grito doesn't like randomly come out when you're like singing along. I can't do it.
I can't do it either.
I'm not capable of that myself. So, I mean, it'll sound like someone's like killing a cat or a dog or something.
Yeah, I sound like a. Like a screeching whale or something. I don't think they screech, but they did.
Oh my god.
Thank you very much once again for joining us. Like I was saying, I am in kind of like a fanboy mode right now because I really enjoy your podcast. You are doing a great job with that. I really appreciate you joining us. And we have some questions for you if you don't mind helping us out here for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
What inspired you guys to become podcasters, first of all?
What was that? One more time, sorry, I didn't...
what was it that inspired you to become a podcaster or to, like, what was it that kind of planted that seed in your minds?
Well, for me, for this podcast specifically, I wanted to do it. I already had another one with my twin. We talk about telenovelas. Mostly because I never really was aware of, like, other Latino, Latinx podcasts out there. I've discovered some now that we started podcasting, but yeah, back then I was like, man, everything I listened to was like white. Like, where's everyone else in the podcasting world? And so that's what inspired my first podcast with my twin. And then this one, I listened to a lot of like spooky paranormal stuff. And I was like, this is again, very white. Where are all of our stories? And I was like on Twitter and I was like, who wants to do this with me? And MJ was like, me. And I had to convince her a little bit, but she was down.
Yeah.
So you didn't know each other previously before this?
We went to the same high school. I knew of Christina. We weren't really like in our clique. Like, I guess it's kind of like someone you saw in the hallway. And like, but then after that, we.
We were friends on social media afterward.
Yeah.
On Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, I didn't really hang out with you in high school. Mm-mm. We did do a dance piece together, though.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. Ooh.
What's up, TP?
I hope it's not online.
You reported the video.
Oh, I think, what's her name? Maria? I think she, like, sent me the video. I was like, Report!
Get this off YouTube now.
It was nobody needs to see that.
Song.
Yeah, I still remember the dance. What were we doing that in front of our parents? Oh my god!
Yo, I did the splits and was like straight up twerking, and I was like, my parents are proud of this. Like, I legit was like, my mom was like, that was a good dance move, like.
Oh my god, I froze up at one time, and then Darren, my friend, was like, I was like, I don't know what to do. Oh, man. Oh, that was embarrassing.
Good times.
That's off Twitter. And not Twitter.
I'm assuming there's no video evidence of this anymore, is there?
Better not be.
Not after MJ reported it. It's gone.
I'm going to hunt somebody down.
It kind of takes me back to my high school days. Like, I'm glad that phones didn't have cameras back then. Because, yeah, that would have been... Yeah. Nope.
This was back when people had to like take their digital camera, computer, take out the video, then put it onto the computer and upload it to YouTube.
Man, back in my time, if you had a digital camera, you were like super like balling. So you had like we used still the real or the film cameras, rather not the real but the film.
Yeah.
So
the disposable ones.
if you took the pictures the wrong way, then you were screwed because there was no way you could fix that, and that was it. You know, and you wasted.
You didn't
your chance.
Know what they looked like till you went to Walgreens.
Exactly, the moment was gone.
You gotta take all these different versions of it.
Let's just take the same pose like four times to make sure.
Yeah.
So how many cultures have so many cultures have similar legends. Even when they're miles apart, like, so why would you think that is?
For me, I think it's the human condition. I think I have a multiracial, multicultural family. We literally have, like, I think, like, five different religions just in my family. And you come to notice that after a while, everybody's kind of the same. Like, they behave the same. Like, my kids are mixed, and sometimes I'm like, y'all do that too? Y'all put the pans inside the oven? We do that. You know? Like, y'all save your grocery bags, your trash bags? We do that too. And it's like, you know, you just, like I said, like, it's something human. Like, you just, I feel like everybody just comes up almost with similar stories at some point.
Yeah, I feel like it's partly that, but also colonization.
No, that too. Yes,
is that you know Europe was everywhere, and so wherever, like their stories is what influenced so much of. I mean, you think about just Latin America specifically, like everywhere that has mermaids, they're the same now because of colonization. Like Haiti, Mexico,
Guam,
Brazil.
I think the Philippines have some too.
Duendes, the Philippines have duendes, and who else was there? Spain, like, you know, that has a lot to do with it, too.
I definitely want to talk about that when we do the stories part of the episode, but I think that it's kind of all of the above, basically, like, the influence of people moving all over the world at one point or another, but there is still, in my opinion, some weird stuff that happened. I'm not, like, saying it's fact or whatever, but just saying that it's always been intriguing to me how different people across time and distance and everything have very similar stories, very similar characteristics to their legends, to their myths, to their characters, I guess, but we'll bring that up at a later point. Do you think with the way that technology is now, meaning that we have cameras, that we have all this stuff available to us that people back then may, of course, they didn't have, but do you think that it's possible that people will ever stop believing or even creating their own myths or creatures or legends or anything like that?
I don't think so. I think now our myths and legends are creepypastas. Like, Slender Man, that was a creepypasta, and now it's turned into this, like, legend. Like, people have reported now seeing him. Whether that's true or not, I know there's something called a tulpa, which is, like, a thought so many people and so many consciousness and so many emotion go into this thought that it becomes real. That's like a Buddhist thinking. And Slender Man is like, it's like that. Whether people are hallucinating him or you know, just a trick of the eye, it has become real. It's not now from just being a creepypasta to something that is legend worthy.
I agree. Another one super similar to that is the Flannel Man. Like, it started out as a creepypasta, and now people see him, like, you know, all over the place. In the United States, specifically. But, yeah, I don't think that's something that's ever going to stop. Because people are, I don't know, always looking for something else, some other explanation. Like, there's has to be something other than just, you know, us, so.
Because Monica and I have talked about how back then, of course, people didn't have technology. They didn't have maybe not even science yet, especially like in the prehistoric times, probably. But like, for example, what do you think would have happened with some primitive human saw lightning for the first time or saw fire for the first time? It's like, oh, what is that? Like, that must have been a complete trip for them.
Yeah, I mean, right, it's a trend now. I mean, like, someone who lives in California and seems like wildfires, it's a trip now. I'm telling that. you know, and even like lightning, if you ever seen like lightning up close, it is terrifying. And it's like, you know, there's stories of people being hit by lightning and, you know, they survived death and stuff. And that in itself, it's like, there you go. Another, you know, so-and-so lived here and he was struck by lightning like 3 times and he lived. There you go. There's the story. There's the legend now.
I agree with you. I don't think we'll ever really stop wondering at stuff or trying to find explanations that may not fit like the quote-unquote scientific side of things, because I think for one thing it's like you were saying earlier, human condition. I think we are kind of wired to kind of think, like, use our imaginations, but also because it's fun. I think it's fun. Like,
it's fun, and yeah. If you look at it, our we have to assess danger. That's what we do. You know, like, maybe I shouldn't run down these stairs. you know, and it's like, you know, when you really in like a world that we live in where it's like we're relatively, we have longer lives, we have things that are safer. It's like, what do you fear? What is the next thing that you fear? It's like the unknown.
Well, that's deep, guys.
Very deep. Yes, that's why I like your podcast. It's always very informative, and I mean that in the best way possible. It's always really informative. It's always like, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but it always sounds like you really look into the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of the times too, like, Christina sends me her stuff sometimes, like, man, I don't really want to look at her notes. I want to be a live reaction. It's like, if I'm going to be pissed off, it's going to be live. You know, like, when we did the zombies, I was like, I'm not reading her notes. This is going to be my reaction. Whatever I have is going to be legit. And, you know, some of the stuff that we find is truly horrifying. And not in the sense of like, oh, this legend, but like the way that people were treated. And a lot of the time I do get mad. Like, if I tell you I'm mad, I'm legit mad. The only thing is I'm trying not to scream to blow everybody's ears off. But, you know, it's just when you do the research and you look into the history, I mean, it gets you sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's like just, some of these stories are fun to hear, but then, or like they're like these super cool, I don't know, movies now, but then you find out what it really stemmed from, and you're like, why is no one talking about this? Like zombies. Yeah.
So another question is, would you guys ever be interested in working in other media, like film or writing, something like that?
I write to begin with. I am trying to write a book. I've been doing that for a few years, but I get serious writer's block. But that would be my next medium of entertainment, would be writing books.
What kind of, like, books? Like,
I believe in you.
Horror.
Horror?
Of course. Of course.
I don't know. I used to, like, write poems and, like, little short stories, but, yeah, I'm not.
She's good, okay? She used to write, like, short stories for the podcast. I think she should still do it and make a whole novel.
It takes a lot of work. Like, I mean, I've tried to write books, too, and I used to write when I was a little kid also, but it's hard to find, like, I guess, like, the motivation sometimes. Like, and I have all this stuff here that I buy for, specifically for stationery. Like, I have all kinds of stuff, but I never really sit down and like write anything, and I have all these ideas, but
it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it is too. And then when you have all this stuff going on, yeah,
mm-hmm. You get to push back. It's like, oh, you're important, but you're getting in the back of the line. Go. Other stuff to do.
I've been trying to talk Monica into writing stuff for hours too, but because I can write, but I guess I'm my own worst critic. I don't like what I write. I think it's cheesy. I think it's not interesting. I think it's bad.
I'm like the opposite. I write something and I'm like, this is f***ing good. Let me send it to everyone so they can confirm. And they do confirm. And some things I couldn't like think of a short story to write about. Like, so that's why a lot of the most recent episodes, I was like, I don't know what to do on this, or I'm just lazy, you know. Because a lot of our first ones do have stories in the beginning.
Yeah, and they're all written by her, and I think they're fabulous. And I told her, I was like, I need a whole novel, okay? Like, write me a whole novel.
And sometimes what I do is I would write a song for it. I haven't done that in a while, but I would write just like a little 2-3 minute little piece of music, because that's what I, that's my expression. That's how I kind of like make my point across, even though it doesn't really have any words, because I can sing ish, especially in those chente times, whatever, 3 in the morning. That's when I sound my best. But in general, like I think I need a lot of work in my voice, so I don't want to put anybody through that. So what I do is I write like little instrumental music, like for the background, or like, you know, just like kind of like soundtrackish kind of sounding stuff. And every now and then I do that, but I've been trying to get Monica's. I know Monica is a great writer, and I'm like, dude, like, help me out with this. We can read it. We can do like a little story time, like fireside thing. So
ooh, yeah,
ooh, I'm here for this.
Yeah, and
I'm here.
Actually, well, it's kind of still like in the works, but she's gonna come down to visit because she's in California right now. But she's gonna come down to visit, and we're planning on doing something kind of like live-ish when she's here. So
nice.
We'll let everybody know about that in case you guys wanna join us for that.
I'll be a heckler. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh my god, MJ, you can't do that.
I'll be like mute. All right, do you guys have any other final like comments before we move on to our actual storytelling? Any other things you might want to mention?
I don't know. Like everything just went poof.
Yeah.
My brain will continue working, please.
I guess, you know, the whole point of us asking you to join us for this episode was because, again, like, I like the way you guys talk about your information, or the way you present your information, rather, in your podcast. And I figured, well, if we're going to try to do something where we talk about folk legends from, in our case, Mexico, because that's where Monica and I are from, I would like to have somebody that actually kind of has, like, a good handle on that, that can actually, like, come across as, you know, somebody that knows what they're talking about, basically. So I wanted to ask you, like, looking into anything? What is it that you found out for sharing with us tonight?
Oh, like what stories we're sharing?
Mm-hmm. It's open. So it can either be stories you like looked into that you read about, or maybe if you want to share some personal stuff that, you know, that's completely up to you.
I can do both. Anyone who knows me knows I see shadow people. Christina, she's like, I know what she's gonna say.
Oh, we know. No.
And I got a haunted house story from Puerto Rico.
All right, so you want to start us off with it?
Gotta clear my throat. Excuse me. I sound professional. I'm gonna fumble this like crazy. It's fine. It's fine. We're good. Okay, so I was looking into haunted houses in Latin America, and I came across this abandoned house in Puerto Rico. It's called the Mustang House in Mayagüez. I'm probably butchering that. Puerto Rico. According to legend, this abandoned house was once occupied by a wealthy family. They fell on hard times with no way out. One of their residents ended up making a pact with some dark spirit. However, some people claim that it was demons or the devil himself. As most stories go, whenever you make a deal with a dark entity, it always backfires. Strange occurrences started happening, and this family packed up their stuff overnight and left. One thing they left behind was a vintage Mustang. According to locals, you can see shadows moving through the home at all hours of the day. Screams, yelling, and laughter can be heard. What's often also heard is hitting of the railings in the house on the stairs. And oh my god, I lost my place. I am so sorry. Christina.
You were just getting super intense, and then you were like, oh my god, I lost it.
I thought you were going to say, took you long enough.
To lose your place.
Like, within, like, the first paragraph, it's like, there she goes. Off the railing. Where was I? Now I got to find it, because I was laughing. What's often heard is the sound of someone hitting the railing on the stairs of this home. You hear tapping on the glass windows as well. Some people claim to see orbs inside the house. The reason this home is most known is for having a vintage Mustang that no one has been able to remove from the garage. Strange events happen so that this Mustang is just not removed. According to locals, on one occasion, there was an attempt to remove it with a crane. The attempt was unsuccessful as the chain broke. Locals also claim that there have been multiple attempts to remove this, and it's one failure after another for those who try. Someone claimed that while peering into this Mustang, they felt attacked by an invisible force. I found pictures, if you guys want me to send them to you. This Mustang is in complete deterioration. It is rusted, the windows are gone, the wheels are gone. It's just pretty much the shell of the car, and the home is just, it's being claimed by nature. So it is completely abandoned. It has that haunted vibe. And that is my house.
Where you see it and you're like, yeah, that place is haunted.
Yeah, like it's like one of those, like, yeah, I don't know why, but it's haunted. But you know why, because it's like abandoned.
Yeah.
I think some places have that, even if they're not completely like overtaken by nature, like you were saying, like just houses that are in the middle of the city, mm-hmm. for example. Some places just have that
vibe. They just give you that vibe.
I was going to share a different story, but your story, MJ, of that house reminded me of a story from El Salvador that is super similar.
Share it.
I guess people are just suspicious of rich people.
European. But,
yeah. In Santa Tecla, El Salvador, there's actually, I think Santa Tecla is I don't remember if this is a city or a state. I think it's a city, and then it's in San Vicente. I don't know geography about El Salvador except where San Salvador is, because that's where my dad's from. So I have no idea. I just know the place is called Santa Tecla. But there was a rich family. This was around like the 1860s. They weren't rich yet, but they were white. Descent. Yeah. And so they moved to, and then over there during this time, the rich people were all white. They were white Salvadorans. They weren't, you know, actually it's probably the same thing now everywhere. But so this, you know, white family moves to this little town, Santa Tecla, and they are rich. They probably made their money from coffee beans, but people started saying they made a pact with the devil, and that's why they were rich. And the story spread like wildfire. Eventually, they said that their pact with the devil was that they had to obviously worship the devil, but then hand over the firstborn of the family in like every generation to like be the Satan's servant or something. And like one person broke the rule, like they didn't keep their pact, and so then the family lost all their money. However, the fall of the coffee bean, like the it was just worth way less after this happened. Mm-hmm. So their downfall is probably because the worth of the coffee bean fell, not because they broke a pact with the devil. That probably never happened. but people, that's what they were saying, that they broke their pact with the devil, and so they lost all their money. The family moved, but the house stayed there, and it's still there in Santa Tecla. And if you look on YouTube, there's a bunch of videos of people like going and daring each other to like spend the night and stuff like that. But currently people say that the lights still turn on and off. People see a pair of girls that look like the twins from The Shining.
Oh, ew.
It says uniformed girls, so I'm assuming they look like that.
Oh, God, no.
And it's specifically at 3 p.m. on Thursdays. Every Thursday they return. And then there's two scarecrows that appear at like the same time every day. People find that weird, obviously. And then just like a cold, eerie feeling for people that have like gone in the house. And there's weird paintings, and obviously people like wrote graffiti all over it too. But I think there's, I don't know about right now during, you know, COVID, but there was tours that a company did at the house where you could, you know, tour it and get all spooked. But yeah, your story, MJ, really reminded me of that one, because it's another rich family that made a pact with the devil. And the house, it remains.
When I was reading mine too, I also got reminded of, what was it? The oh my God, what is that guy who had a sports car? He was like a movie star. He called it the Little Devil or something like that. Yes. And I was like haunted. Yeah, the cursed car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of, I think they've sold parts of that car for like a bunch of money just because people think that it's got some kind of like spiritual like attachment to it, or like it's haunted or whatever. So people like have basically torn the car apart and like sold off pieces of it.
That's kind of tragic, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think I heard somebody say about that car specifically that the car itself was haunted.
Yeah. Like it killed like some, like a few number of people. Supposedly killed like James Dean and the people who were transporting it, like a few people. It was like just one horrible incident after another.
Would you guys ever consider either visiting a haunted house or riding a so-called cursed car like that?
Haunted house. I would not do the car thing, because I probably have a higher chance of dying. So it's like haunted house. Like if I see a ghost, it's fine. I'm not gonna die. I'll, like, you know, probably need like change of clothes, but no dying. We're good.
No, I can read about it and watch things, but I will not set foot in somewhere that.
Oh, well, I've been to Alcatraz when I was younger, so.
Well, me too, but I didn't know about all the haunted stuff when
it feels kind of.
For school to Alcatraz.
Our school did a lot of stuff. Like, yeah, we went to like a bunch of. Well, I went to school in elementary in San Francisco, and then I moved to where I lived.
That's why you were right there. Yeah, and yeah. I went to elementary school in Oakland, California, so it was right across. So it was a big field trip thing to go to Alcatraz.
Yeah.
So what about you, Monica?
Huh?
What about you? What are your thoughts on that question?
No, I would not. I would not get in the car. I would not go to a haunted house. I mean, like... I know haunted houses are fake, like in those amusement parks. Obviously, I'll go into those, but because I know, like...
I won't do that either. Let me tell you about the times that I did. One time, I was in Guadalajara visiting family, and we went to this little amusement park called Selva Mágica, and there was a haunted house there. I think it was like 8, and we wanted to go in, and my tia was like, okay, but once you're inside, you can't leave. Like, do you understand this? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be scared. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fun. And then I went in, and like the first 5 minutes, like they shut all the doors. It's dark. Someone dressed like Dracula comes out and was like, getting the environment ready for, you know, for you to be scared. And in that moment, I was like, let me out. And I was like pounding on the door, and it was like embarrassing for everyone. I didn't care. They let me out. That was my friend. And then my second one, we were in Universal Studios. It was when the movie Van Helsing came out, and they had like a haunted house that you went through. And there was like this bridge that you walked through where Igor was like on the other side walking. And I didn't want to cross the bridge because Igor scared me, and my family all crossed without me. And I was like hugging this Asian family that I didn't know next to me. We were just all hugging together, and we walked across the bridge in hands, like, you know. So yeah, no, I don't do even like fake haunted houses.
I mean, I can go through them just because, like, there was one time I actually went to Bosque Mágico, and that's in Monterrey. I think there's one there too. But that one, I think there was something off about one of the little like rooms that they had with like the girl from The Exorcist that just made me laugh. And after that, I couldn't get scared anymore, because I just saw everything like so comical. So it's like I can get through them, and I made it like a point that, like, no, I have to go to like a really, really scary one but not like not the ones that they announce on, you know, on TV that people died at or whatever, because I'm not trying to get a heart attack either. So
not the ones you need to sign a waiver for.
No, I'm good.
See, I don't know how people do that, because I'd be like, the moment somebody lays hands on me, it's over.
Yeah.
Like,
my mom used to carry a bat with her when she went through haunted houses, and she would start beating people up. Or worse.
I'm about to do that. Like, come at me, bro.
I can see it happening.
I've never had the opportunity. I mean, I've been to those, I guess, amusement park ones a couple times when I was a kid, and those were like, okay, scary-ish. But I would like to at some point actually step into a property or whatever that is allegedly haunted, just spend some time there and see if, not that I'm like trying to prove anything right or wrong, but it's I kind of just want to see what the atmosphere is in a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of experience that firsthand. And I don't know, just kind of like I'm a little weird like that. Like I
think a lot of it is like you psych yourself out. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of it. Like you start like, oh my god, is this real? Especially like if you go with someone and it's like they're freaking out, well, I'm gonna start freaking out too.
Yeah, you know? I would be that person to freak everybody else out. Actually, I have been that person.
Like I've drove by the Winchester Mansion. I've seen it from the outside. I've never gone in, but it, you know, you go there and you're like, oh, this has a creepy vibe. And then like, but did it really?
Did it? Yeah.
I don't think I could go to one of like a house that's like legendary, like scary, like haunted or whatever, because I'm superstitious. So I would keep thinking that a ghost is going to like follow me back home or something. And I don't want to deal with that whole thing. That's just me. Like, I can't.
Well, let me show you what I found as far as this. I found this story, and going back to that whole similar legends across different cultures thing, because this was allegedly something that occurred sometime around the 12 to 1400s. So it's a few years before Europe brought people over to America. I'm not sure if either one of you has heard about this creature or this being. Which I'm sorry if I'm probably gonna mispronounce all these words because they're like in Nahuatl, which is the language of the Aztecs. But they got a couple of names. They got some people call them Tlaltepuchis, some other people call them Tlahuelpuchis, and then
yes, we have.
Some other people call them the Mometzcopinques, which is kind of like that's kind of like the more of the Aztec word for it, because the other words that I used are from Tlaxcala, which is kind of like, they were like a rival slash not really friendly tribe with the Aztecs. They were, I believe, at one point conquered by the Aztecs, and they kind of became assimilated, and they were not very happy about that. So I think, if I remember my history correctly, that these groups of people, the Tlaxcaltecas, actually allied with the Spanish against the Aztecs during the time of the conquest. But my point is that this story, I mean, if you're familiar with it, I mean, it's basically a woman that is somehow chosen by one of the Aztec gods for some reason. It's not really specified as far as what I found out here. That they are somehow chosen by an Aztec god to carry this quote-unquote gift or ability. But I don't think it's anything that anybody wants to have unless you're kind of like a really weird person. Because according to this, it's kind of like a bloodlust. You become a creature that drinks blood, and specifically from kids or infants even. So allegedly what this creature would do is that, I mean, they have a few different abilities. They can transform into animals, for one. They can transform into a ball of fire. And some people even claim they could turn into mist. Some of the things that people would do to like ward them off is they would get a box of needles or like pieces of metal or a knife or even a mirror close to wherever they thought that creature was going to come, because that would ward them off. The other thing that they would use is garlic, like a piece of garlic or onion even, around the place where they thought the person that was going to get attacked was going to sleep. And to me, that just kind of automatically vampires. like to me personally, because in the European folklore of vampires is, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of garlic. They're afraid of like silver. They can't see themselves in a mirror, so that kind of freaks them out too. So I don't know how, since this creature was talked about before the Europeans brought their legends over here to America, how that legend was developed here before that even happened. So that was my point earlier, where it's like, how do all these ideas about very similar beings and creatures develop across different distances? And I don't know, to me that's always been really, really interesting.
Yeah, personally, I feel like a part of what they originally were, maybe in the story now, but it's heavily influenced. Well, the story we hear now is heavily influenced by the Spanish. So the creature, or like the original name maybe, but like, I mean, a lot of these, we'll never know the full original story because they've merged with Spanish folklore. And I think that's why we hear the fire, they turn into balls of fire. And that's like what the witches over there did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The garlic, like, so a lot of it, they've changed the story to where part of it is what it used to be, but not all of it. And that's why all these stories are so similar.
And it could also be that, like, say there was a vampire thing. I think it's so taboo. I mean, for anything, for this specific topic, cannibalism is so taboo. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to have like these stories like, oh, look at those, you know, those people are bad. That tribe over there is bad. They eat people. They eat their cannibals, you know? So it's maybe like this thing, because I would imagine if I saw someone who was cannibalizing another person, there'd be like blood all over. It's like, oh, look at he's drinking. Like, no, he just bit that person. but yeah, like, so it could also be like the whole cannibalistic aspect, and there are people who do enjoy the taste of blood. Mm-hmm. There's some strange people, you know, so it could be a different thing, but I think like fundamentally, if it wasn't on unaltered, which I think it was, because Spanish like to change everything.
I believe it was.
But it's like, it still fundamentally is that cannibalism thing that it's just unsettling for anybody.
I will say the way I've heard them before, or heard about them before, is that they all are, they're women that are born on this state called One Rain, which I can't pronounce the word for it. It's too hard.
Yeah, there was like this, like, and there's this like this page too that goes over South American. Oh my god, I forgot it. South American deities and stuff, and I came across them too, but yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that are said to, their limbs can transform into like either turkey or owl and legs.
Yeah.
So that's the way I heard it, that they don't fully transform, they like half transform this like bird creature.
Like half this, what is it called? Chimera type thing.
Yeah, what I found here is that they could actually tear their own limbs off, not that their limbs.
I've heard that too.
So like I guess it's a variation that they would like willingly tear their limbs off, or they would just fall off automatically, and they would develop the wings or the bird feet or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost felt like a precursor to the legend of La Lechuza to us when we talked about it. My child is pounding on the door. I hope you guys can't hear him.
My kid did that a while ago, and I was like, that's why I had to mute myself. I was like, oh no, I could hear this.
It's okay, don't worry.
Yeah, my dogs are barking, so it's kind of weird. I'm out there with my dog, like, there's nobody outside. I don't know what she's barking at. She's very rowdy.
She's like, I want to be talking. I got stories. I got stories.
Right.
You didn't ask me.
Speaking of the Lechuza, has any of you ever seen one or come across one in the wild?
There's always
MJ's house.
There's one always outside my apartment, and it follows me always from the parking garage to my apartment.
Like it follows you, like it flies after you, or it just watches you?
No, you can hear the wings. Like you can hear it, like because there's a tree by our parking garage, and it's like a good chunk that we have to cross. Like our apartment complex is huge. It's like 100-something buildings, and they're all only 2 floors, right? So it's all spread out, like pretty. pretty big chunk of land. And to get from the parking garage to where I live, you have to cross several apartments. So it's a pretty long walk. Like, when you have groceries, it's like, it pisses you off. And it's always, like, you park at night. It's always there in, like, this tree that's next to our parking section. And then you hear it. It go, you know, it does this little hoot. And then as I'm walking, I could hear it flying. And then I hear it again on, like, either the outside of my room, which has a window, or by my kitchen. So it's either or. And it, like, follows me. And every once in a while you hear it, like, hoot. And it's been there. I don't know if it's the same one or if it's just, like, has babies and just stays there, but it's been there for, like, I don't know, like, a 7 years now.
Wow.
They passed on the mission to torment you for the rest of your life, for generation to generation.
Like, it's jokes on them. I'm the weird one. They're probably like, damn it, Mom. Her? Really? We have to haunt her?
Why couldn't it be someone else?
Why can't it be someone normal? We got the freak.
No, I've never seen one. I mean, I've seen one, but I've never seen one in the sense of, like, the way that it's spoken about in the folk stories. I live close to this, it's like a farm, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because the back part of my property ends, and there's like a little water ditch in case it ever floods, which, you know, thanks to that ditch, it never does. But, and then after that ditch, it goes back up, like, it, the land kind of, I guess, the hill, it's like a little hill. And at the other side of that hill is a farm or a ranch. So there's a whole bunch of trees in that line. And one time I was kind of just hanging out in my backyard for some reason. I never do. Like, I'm always inside. I hate being outside, especially because mosquitoes down here are like bats. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Ew.
They're like...
Flamethrower. Get a flamethrower.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I can't be outside for 5 minutes because I'll be like covered in mosquito bites. It's ridiculous. Ew. Because of that humidity. Down here, it's super humid. It's just unbearable. So anyways, this one time, I guess I was crazy. And I was, let me have a beer and just kind of sit in the back porch, whatever. So I was sitting in the back porch, and I hear this, like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I was like, what the hell? Like, what is that? And I kind of, like, look up, and I see this, like, white blur just kind of, like, flying down towards me and just kind of flying back and away. And I was like, was that a lechuza? It looked white and big, so that's what I'm assuming it was. It was hooting, so...
There's, like, different versions of the lechuza. Some of them are, like, normal-sized owls. And then there's the gigantic lechuzas, which are, like, as big or bigger than people. I don't remember what we covered in that episode. I think they were, like...
Yeah, bigger. They were, like, they have, huge. Like, a 7 feet wingspan.
Yeah. So it's, like, depending on the region of, like, Mexico is, like, how your lechuza story is going to end up.
Right, because some of them, the lechuza is a witch, and those are, like, the small ones.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the legend of the giant one, and that's, like, its whole separate...
It's weird.
Creepy lechuza.
That giant lechuza, that's super scary. No.
How about you, Monica? Has anything weird happened around your place over there in California?
No, there was just that one time I came home, and there was, like, a bunch, like, over 40 crows, black crows, in one of the neighbor's houses. And it was, like, the creepiest thing, too. Like, they were just there, hanging out on the roof, like, chilling. And I'm like,
okay. Was there someone dead inside, or what?
I was, like, someone die, and they're just there, like...
Was something announced on the news next week?
It was really creepy, like, and, like, I saw them twice. It was that day, and then another, like, maybe a couple weeks down the road, like, we were outside. The same house, same spots, everything. But I've never seen lechuzas. I mean, I've heard that they, like, represent, like, alien abductions, like.
Yeah, that too. And I had a Ryan. I forgot his last name. Oh my god,
Brag from Somewhere in the Skies.
Yeah. Because I, like, posted up my lechuza thing. Because it's funny. Because I did I used to do, which I need to pick up back up again, but life's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been a while.
MJ's spooky tweets, and we did aliens one time, and then that night that we did aliens, there was a lechuza outside my my apartment, and we were like having dinner, the window was open, all you could hear is this thing, and I was like, and I posted about it, and then Ryan was like, oh, here's this book on owls and aliens abductions, and I was like, thanks, Ryan. That's just what I needed to see before I go to bed. And that's just what I needed to see, because there's always an owl here. But I've heard that too, that it's a alien abduction thing. Now I'm wondering, like, man, was I taken? And they put me back? How dare they?
And they returned me?
They were like, it was like what I tell my kids, like, what if I get abducted? Don't worry, they'll return you. I feel the exact same way right now.
How about, I mean, since we were talking about aliens now, I guess, I don't know, but at least in my experience, I don't hear that very often in Hispanic culture. I mean, we hear about it.
I hear about it all the time. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I have stories from, like, first account stories from people that I know personally, and it's not just one witness, it's multiple, and it's the story that I go when we had the UFO episode. We did one, and
oh yeah you did one from like a small town that's not there anymore, right?
And it's not there anymore, like it's there, yeah. No, it's in Zacatecas.
Why was it? And then, oh, because your other stories are from
Jalisco. It's like Jalisco and Zacatecas, because yeah. It's the towns that usually have the stories, and they're like they're on the border of Jalisco and Zacatecas. But the particular story that we go over in that one, it was an entire family and multiple witnesses, and it's not just them, this like whole little town, like all the people used to see strange lights. There's a lake there, and if you ask the townsfolk, and there's even like an indigenous little tribe there, they'll tell you about these lights coming in and out of this presa, this like lake thing. Yeah. And the indigenous people are like, yeah, everybody sees that all the time, like why are you freaking out over this? And then, like, you know, other people are like, oh my god, did you see that? And it's like this habit in that area to, like, if someone leaves late at night, you watch them, you know, go to their home, because they're just like wary of these lights, but they see them all the time. And people have like firsthand encounters with like strange things. That's always been my experience. I don't know, like, I feel like I know a lot of people who have these like UFO or possible alien encounters.
Actually, now that I think about it, since you mentioned that, I do remember one instance that there's allegedly a base of aliens that are underwater off the coast of Tampico.
What?
Oh,
wow.
You never heard about that?
No. I was going to, like, tell Christina right now to mention that Zona de Silencio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yo, I was about to.
That's freaky. That's freaky. Yeah. But, I mean, just real quick, I mean, I remember reading that there's some sort of, like, alien, I don't know if it's a military or research base, that people say that it's underwater off the coast of Tampico, and that is the reason why we don't see a lot of hurricanes in that area. I mean, you see them, but they don't really destroy a lot of property. Yeah, so allegedly they kind of use their technology to make it go in a different direction, like either north or south or whatever.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I remember reading that somewhere, and maybe I can find the link right now, I hope I'm not crazy, but I remember reading that somewhere.
I'm gonna like message. Okay, so like for now we're on the alien topic. Ryan Sprague, right? I'm sorry, Ryan, if I caught your name wrong, your last name wrong. He's like a ufologist and stuff, and into all this stuff. So I'm gonna ask him and be like, "Hey, you got any firsthand accounts of this?" That stuff always freaks me out. Like, when was it? A few weeks ago, I saw the The damn satellites, the,
Oh, the Starlink, or...
Yeah, Starlink satellites, and I had a total freaking meltdown. I was like, what the hell is that? And it's an alien invasion. We're gonna die. I was like having a full-on meltdown. And then my kids, my son was like, Mom, relax. It's the satellite train. And I was like, okay.
Loser, stop freaking out.
That's pretty much what he like treated me. He's like, Mom, you're overreacting. It's like, let me have my freak out. I don't know what this is. <It's> terrifying.
Okay, so I found the article real quick and, about that base, whatever, or that alleged base, whatever. And it says here that it's been, like, only, quote-unquote, 7 hurricanes have hit the area in the past 53 years.
Wow.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, really, but, I mean, that's an average of, like, 1 every 8 years, maybe, which is... weird because they're right on the coast. They're like literally right on the.
Yeah, it should be like almost yearly.
Yeah, almost.
I mean, or it should be yearly. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But I've heard about Sonata Silencio, Christina. So you want to fill us in on that real quick?
Yeah, that was your topic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. So in I want to say it's in Durango, the desert zone of Durango. There's like this little place they call the zone of silence where allegedly radios don't work, like any type of communication. There was some project in the 1960s, and I could be wrong because I'm not looking at my old notes because they're like hard to find now. But where I had trouble pronouncing. Is it NASA? NASA?
NASA?
The same thing. NASA?
NASA?
NASA.
What? NASA. The space agency?
Them. The space people, the fancy space people that research the fancy space. Our organization.
Well, we have like 3 fancy space people now.
Well, the originals.
The OGs.
Yeah, those ones.
Space Force.
They had a.
Space Force.
Oh, Space Force. but they did some research in the area. And after they were there, then people began fueling this stories of UFO sightings and alien sightings. So some people think it was like made up for touristic, you know, purposes to, you know, bring money in. But there's so many accounts of UFO sightings before NASA.
Yes, you got it.
Thank you. Before they went to research the area. A Mexican pilot flew over the zone and his communication didn't work, or his like walkie-talkie, whatever, mm-hmm. they have radio, it didn't work any over the area, and he said he saw something. The guy's name was like Luis something 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 something, because you know their names are so long. And this was in the 1940s or 50s that he flew over it. Mm-hmm. And then like it was 2 pilots that experienced weird things there before. Mm-hmm. NASA did their research, which came to nothing, and they left. But yeah, people say that there's UFO sightings there. And then there's also these like stories of people seeing tall. And again, why is everything paranormal like in Mexico and Latin America? Why are they white? I don't
know. But, the strange new neighbors. They're white.
Yeah. They're either white people are either aliens or vampires. I don't know what's going on. I didn't make this up. But people say that they see tall, blonde beings, which is why I'm like, why are they white? But so they're abnormally tall. And again, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. They're abnormally tall, very pale, blonde. And when asked, they don't really answer anything, but they ask for water. And then they speak perfect Spanish, and like if you turn around the minute to like hand them the water, then they're like mysteriously gone. There's one account of a couple, and I don't remember their names, but this couple was out there. I forgot why they were there. I think the story said they were rock hunting, which is weird. Who does that? I don't know, but this couple was rock hunting, and it's a Mexican couple.
Oh, it's probably doesn't that zone get meteors a lot? Like, supposedly, yes. Like, yeah, so yeah, they were probably there to pick up meteors. There was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what they're, yeah, that makes more sense than rock hunting. Like,
how do you hunt a rock?
If that's what they were doing. Yeah. But they were about to, oh, I didn't hear what?
You hunt a rock. No, I got like,
oh, yeah, I don't know. They look for specific, for special rocks. I have no
it's
idea.
It's not it a boulder, it's do. A rock.
I picture like somebody going on a safari and like with a rifle and like nets and everything, like,
yeah,
and they get SpongeBob to do it. What does he say? It's like, it's not just a rock, it's a boulder, or it's not a boulder, it's a rock, or something like that.
I don't remember, it's been too long. There's specific SpongeBob episodes that I remember more clearly than others. That's not one of them. Anyway, these people, the couple was about to leave and their car was stuck like in a mud, like, you know, when your car, you're turning it and mm-hmm. you can't get out of this like mud. So then they were like digging themselves deeper because they were like, they not properly doing it. But so then like they were stuck and there was a storm coming or something. And then suddenly this group of the tall blonde beans, and they're always men, they're not women, but they appear out of nowhere and they just like, without any effort, all pick up the car together to help them, and then just when they were about to like thank them, they disappeared completely, and then there was no footsteps on the ground, nothing to signal that there was this group of people even there that helped them, or not people, but like, you know, aliens is what they're calling them. But yeah, no evidence that they like walked all over, and it was a muddy day because it was raining, so there should have been footsteps on the floor. So yeah, there's a bunch of stories like that of those things there in the desert.
Yeah, I think the same beings are seen off the coast of Chile in called Friendship Island. It's the same, described the same, tall, blonde, blue eyes, just these like strange people that come to land every once in a while. And then when they're asked where they're from, they're like Friendship Island, and people have tried to look for this island in particular.
And it's always, yeah, like, yeah. And these people say that they're from above when they're asked where they're from.
Yeah, and it's like this Friendship Island, and then I think there's like some connection to that boat legend that we did. What was it called? Oh my god.
Oh really? The
Caleuche or something like that.
Yeah, the ghost ship.
The ghost ship off of the coast of Chile. There's like some connection. But yeah, like that these like beings are seen all over the place. I think be a story of them being spotted in too. It's like weird.
Where?
In Brazil.
Oh, Brazil. Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to look it up. Don't quote me on that. At me if I'm wrong, but still.
I don't really read as much about aliens as I do about other paranormal stuff, like ghosts and stuff like that, but aren't there like several different kinds of aliens? Like for example, the typical aliens with the big heads and the black eyes, it's one kind.
Yeah, the grays.
And then there's the kind that you're talking about right now. Like they look kind of like Vikings, I guess.
Yeah, they're called the Nordics.
Okay, so
you guys, I have like, okay, not turning it up, but I have like a few friends that are into this.
I guess that makes sense based on what I've read. I mean, it's something that's
and they're seen all over the place. Yeah. Like both of these kind are seen all over the world. Just again, going back to what you're saying, like why are people experiencing this? And it doesn't help at all. Like, what was it, today or yesterday? Like, I think was
the report?
The Pentagon was like, we don't. Weird? Yeah, the report. They're like, we don't know what's going on. They're just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I saw it. Like, I was like, there's something that came on. I don't know if I saw it when I was like logging into the email or something. But they're like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what this is, which is like both scary and like. Makes validate. Me wonder what's going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Validate. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who were called crazy and a lot of people who were ridiculed. And they're like, see, I told you. They're sipping their tea right now, just side-eyeing everybody. As they should.
I don't know. I think I'm going to go. It's going to sound like a conspiracy theory, but I think that a lot of stuff is kept from us as far as possible explanations for things that we see or hear about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, it may seem like it's a good thing sometimes. Sometimes it seems like it's a bad thing, but I mean.
Well, I mean, look at the way people handled COVID and the gas shortage on the East Coast. Like
here.
Can you like.
I can tell you firsthand, like people were in line for hours to get their gas tank filled. And it wasn't even like a shortage. It was just like. word of mouth panic. Yeah, and it happened more than once.
That's funny. Because they're like, it's like $5. I'm like, I live in California. Like,
for us, when it hits three, that's when people are losing their minds. I mean, right now, I think it's about $2.75 a gallon down here. Mm-hmm. And people were already like losing their minds. Oh, it's so expensive and this and that. And it's like, well, okay, like, you know. I wanted to ask you, since it's like, I mean, what I guess the most widely known story. I've never seen her. I've heard about her, and I have a story that my mom told me about La Llorona.
Oh, because, La Llorona, yeah.
Because La Llorona, you know, of course, it's like the most widely known, I guess, legend from Mexico, maybe even Latin America, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah, she's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. She's in Texas.
My family, or my mom's side of the family, specifically, they're from a village in the mountains close to Tampico, actually. They're maybe like an hour away from Tampico. So there's a river, and I forget the name of the river down there, but they used to live like, you know, a few, maybe like not even blocks. I think they're maybe like a block away from a river, from where the river was running.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was growing up, my mom would say that they would see a lady walking in a white dress with like black hair, and that she would walk on the other side of the river, not where their property was, but that they would see a lady, and they were like, hey, who is that? Like, because it's a small town, like everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I mean, there were maybe like 100 people in that village. So if anything, you know, if not by name, you know them by what they look like, you know. So, but nobody could tell who this person was. Nobody. And they would call out to her, and my mom said that some people saw, like, she says she saw her face, and that it looked almost like a skull, like not completely like not not like a skeleton face, but she looked so skinny and emaciated that it looked almost like she was completely dried up from her face.
Mm-hmm.
And she and her sisters ran back home, like, you know, back inside the house, whatever. And there's another legend that I don't know if it's connected to that specifically or not, but there was a bridge across that river that would take you to like a different part of the village, whatever. And in that town, there was a saying that que se pueden malorar, which I asked her what that meant, and she was like, well, it means that if you cross the river at a certain time of day, you become cursed and you can die, specifically kids.
Mm.
Oh.
So she told me a story that when my brother was born, my oldest brother is about 10 years older than I am, so he's hitting 50 almost. Oof. But back then, they took my brother to visit her. He was like maybe like a few months old, and they crossed the river at night, the bridge, to go into the property that belonged to my grandpa. And that all of a sudden, my brother started crying, and he was really fussy, but like it sounded like he was in pain. Not because he was hungry, but it sounded like he was like in pain or something was hurting, and he looked like he was like something was really wrong with him. So my mom's grandma took him away from her, and she did her thing with the hierbitas, whatever she did, and candles and everything. And that after a few minutes, the boy was like fast asleep, and he slept for hours. But there was a case of somebody that didn't do that, and their child was dead within a couple hours.
Wow.
And that it wasn't just that one child. It was like, you know, it happened like maybe to two or three other kids, specifically like little infants. So they, like, their parents would cross them over the river, or like, I don't know what time of the day it was, but at night probably, and that these little babies passed away. And nobody could, I mean, because they were in perfect health, they didn't look like they were sick or anything, they just kind of just like were gone after a while.
Sounds like a myth created to explain SIDS.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I was like gonna say right now too. Mm-hmm. But I have heard of like there's some bridges that you have to be careful when you cross, or don't go to a bridge at a certain time of day because you still see something or and stuff like that. And I don't know.
There's
I mean,
a lot of devil's bridges too.
Yeah. Yeah. Or and then you, bridges. There, for some reason too, the La Llorona is often also seen near water, near bodies of water, lakes, rivers. And I think if I remember correctly, fountains, like water fountains in like the middle of like a city or something.
Yeah, my tia lives in, well, my family's in Guadalajara, and she lives in a neighborhood that has wells, like, mm-hmm. That, and that's the body of water that's there. There's no river. It's just the wells. But people say they see La Llorona. And
yeah, like for some reason, she's like attracted to like bodies of water. It's weird.
I remember hearing your episode about that. Like you discussed a couple of different possible origins for her. But the story that I'm more familiar with is that she drowned her babies for her kids, right? That's like the more popular one, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why she's hanging around like the bodies of water. But what about you, Monica? Have you ever seen her?
I've never seen her. I mean, I've heard of her. I remember, I mean, they used to try to scare me when I was a kid, like, with that story. That was one of the main stories that I grew up with. But I heard the same thing that you did, that, like, so that they got drowned, and then the reason why she hangs around the water, the lake, or whatever, is because she's trying to get them back. But, like, she tries to steal little kids. So she's trying to replace those kids with her own. She regrets, you know, drowning the children.
So what would you all do in case you saw, if not La Llorona, something like a ghost or even aliens for that matter? Like, how would you, how do you think you would all react to that situation?
I shadow people. So.
Oh yeah, MJ sees things all the time.
I see things, yeah, all the time.
These things, hear things. She's that like, is this true. Is fine. That this meme burning behind
it. Like, this is fine.
The dog drinking coffee with her.
That's me, usually. Which, I haven't had anything happen in a while. Like, did they leave me? Or are they tired of my shit? Which, can't blame them.
Am I alone still. Now?
I mean, I don't know how I would react to anything like that. I've never seen a ghost. I can't say that I've seen one. I've felt stuff when I go to a certain place, or even in my house. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, when I first moved into this house, I would hear noises in the kitchen. And I always told myself, well, it's just rats. And then that, not that that made me feel any better necessarily.
That honestly sounds worse.
But it's because I would hear what sounded like the cabinet doors open or squeak, whatever.
Ooh. Oh, that could also be like the house settling. Yeah. Like,
I would also hear the washing machine kind of like being messed around with.
I used to hear that all the time. Like in like the place I used to live before now, I used to always hear someone opening the washing machine, like throwing something in there and then closing it roughly.
That's what I would hear.
You know what would have been nice if they actually did your laundry?
I know. I was
I'd
like,
be fine with that.
It's like you can live here rent free, bro.
Thank you, Bob the Ghost. Thank you, Bob the Poltergeist. Right on.
No, but I bring that up because, like I said, I've never seen anything, but I've felt or heard noises. But my brother, I bring him back up because he's the same brother that this thing happened to him when he was a baby, whatever. He's always claimed to, he doesn't like to talk about it too much, but he always says that he sees ghosts. He sees people in his house. Or even when he's walking around the street, he sees people that are not supposed to be there. And they try to talk to him.
So. My mom and brother are the same way. I honestly don't think I could see or feel anything, even if I like tried, because we used to live in a house growing up that everybody, there was a room my brother would not go in. It was supposed to be his room. He would not go in there ever. He slept with my parents. Everybody has creepy stories of the house, and me and my twin sister were like, what? We never noticed anything, and we were there from like 5 to 8, so we have memories there, you know. And I never experienced anything. Other places, people would say things like, this happened here, and again, nothing. So the only time, it's been like twice. Like once my brother would say he would see like shadow people, and one time he was like telling me they were like next to me, and I was like 13 and he was 11, and I was mocking him, and I was like, oh, are they right here, Luis? What are they gonna do? And then like my chair was pulled out from under me. I landed on my butt and it hurt, and I was like freaked the hell out, and I ran to my dad's and I just stayed with him the whole day, and I was like, I'm never making fun of my brother again. And about this, about other things I will, but not about this. And I didn't, and I stab it. Oh yeah, the only other time that I've ever heard or experienced something super weird was, and I've said it on our podcast, but me and my mom were going to Burlington Coat Factory, and we were like Christmas shopping, and we were just walking, and suddenly there was like this little laugh, like a little girl. And
it was MJ.
Yeah, right. And I was like, what the hell was that? And then my mom was like, oh, I heard it, but I wasn't going to say anything because I knew you were going to freak out and exaggerate. And I was like, exaggerate? Mom, we just heard a disembodied laugh. What do you mean exaggerate? Of course I'm going to exaggerate. What is happening? And I was like, oh my God. And she was like, oh, stop. Like, stop being so dramatic. And then some friends were walking by, and they were singing, and I didn't see them because I was busy freaking out with my mom. And, like, I heard their voice, and I was like, and then they turned and, like, looked at us and, like, laughed. And I was like, oops, that was actual.
Oh, my God. Conspiracy theory we came up with. Well, this is, like, Christina. She gets the credit. All Burlington. Oh, all Burlington.
Yeah. That portal. There's a story about a haunted Burlington and Stockton.
Yeah, that's a crazy theory for, like, that Spooky Tales gets credit for. All Burlingtons are haunted, and they're, like, built on, like, the portals.
That are haunted, yeah.
We'll yeah.
Because I also experienced something with Burlington in a completely different state, so that's the only explanation, that they're all haunted.
All haunted. All of them.
maybe that family made a deal with the devil, like the one in your story.
Maybe.
Right?
they kind of built all their Burlingtons on like demon money or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has to be like some demon thing there in each store.
So I guess to wrap things up a little bit, just one more topic that I wanted to talk to you about. I'm not very familiar with TikTok at all. I get an idea that both of you are, MJ and Christina.
Oh, that's
just me.
No, I do not. Like, I downloaded TikTok and I try to avoid it because it's like a rabbit hole. And then I'm like, oh, 4 hours later, what's up? Where's everybody?
Like, where's dinner?
Oh, was that me? Was I supposed to cook?
Yeah. But my question was, I've been seeing a lot of people on YouTube talking about people on TikTok that are making videos of their houses that are haunted or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you if you remember any of them that stood out from all that sea of videos, or if what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, there's one. She lives in the house where one of the, because the Amityville, no, not that. What's their movie called? The movies, The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
The Conjuring.
Oh, yeah.
In a different place. So I don't know which. I think it's the one from the first movie. She bought this house and she lives there. And so she makes videos all the time and does, like, lives from that house. And I had seen one of her videos and then I lost the... I don't remember how to find it again. And I recently found it again. But and I know she's one of them. And there's a few more I've come across. Some people that have, like, supposedly, like, a doll, and they'll, like, you know, do a bunch of videos with that doll. I don't know. Some of them, like, you know, is this?
I feel like staged.
Like, making it staged. Yeah. Are they staged? They're still fun to watch though, so I'm still gonna do it.
Yeah, it's entertainment at the end of the day. Like if it is real, I'm like, I'm thankful I'm not you. If right, it's not real, thank you for entertaining me for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have TikTok either. Monica, you have TikTok, right?
Yeah, and I've seen, there's this one guy, I don't remember what his name is, but he has, like, this house where, I think, I don't know if it's the same guy or a different guy that also works in, like, a frozen yogurt place, and apparently, like, the he started getting haunted at the yogurt place, and then it transferred over to his house or something, or, like, I could be wrong, but the one in the yogurt place, like, you can see there's only, like, there's people, other people there, like, it's, like, another employee, and then, like, the lights, like, flickering, and then the guy goes to the back, and, like, to where they have, like, all the fridges and all that stuff over there, and, like, things start to rattle, fall off the shelves, and, like, the doors, like, slam, like, it's crazy, like, and I don't know if it's real, like, it's not, like, it could be somebody else there, like, doing all that stuff while these two are pretending that they're scared or whatever, but it's still, it's interesting, and then there's the other one for the house where That one did freak me out because some of those scenes kind of looked a little bit hard to, like, to fake, I guess. But the guy will just be, like, in this house, and he sees things pass by, like, the sliding door or, like, things turning on, like, in the room upstairs and, like, little toys. Like, it's, like, super creepy. And I can't remember the name of the username or the person. You can look them up. But there's, like, a bunch of them on there, like, haunted houses, haunted, like, forest, haunted, like, random things. That's mm-hmm. really entertaining. And yes, it's like a rabbit hole. Like I've done the same thing where like I wake up in the morning on like a weekend because I don't work on the weekends. And I'm like, I'm just gonna watch a couple videos. Like I'm not ready to get up yet. And then it's like freaking noon and I woke up at like 9 in the morning and it's like, oh, why did I do that?
Like, yeah, it is like a huge rabbit hole. I try to, and then on top of that, there's sometimes where I'm like, oh, this is cringy. I have secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah.
I do not need this. I did not embarrass myself. Why am I embarrassed?
Yeah, I use it mostly to post. I don't
yeah, scroll that's through. All yeah, Christina.
No, I don't post. I just watch the videos.
Same.
I mean, cause we're thinking about doing one for the podcast, but I'm not even sure what we would post because I don't really live anywhere. I don't have anything that I think is entertaining around us or in my, like in my area.
So. Oh, I mean, me neither.
I am, like, I've talked to Christina, like, before, and I was like, man, maybe once COVID opens up, I'll go around California and visit, like, haunted places and, like, document it. And it's gonna be, like, let's just be real. It's gonna be me, like, tripping over myself 90% of the time. But that's fine. It's gonna be, you know.
Something just pushed me.
That was not me. Just, like, all you see is, like, MJ, like, tripping on something, falling down. It's okay, the ghost didn't get me this time.
The one video that I saw on YouTube that looked kind of, I don't want to say real, but it looked kind of interesting is a young couple. It's a guy and his wife and dog, and they live in this house, and they start doing like the TikTok videos where like the little lamps start moving like on the ceiling. The what do you call those? The chandeliers. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and then you see him like going up down some stairs into his basement or something, and the dog runs down the stairs, and then it comes back like super freaked out, and then the guy himself freaks out because he thinks he sees something.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
Yeah, and then I think the last one that I saw from him was that he was like in this like hallway, and then the lights turned off, or actually the light bulb blew up.
So
he was hearing noises like down the hall from where he was sitting at, and he kind of goes to explore what's up with that noise, whatever, and it's like doors opening and closing, and then as he's getting closer, the light bulb like shatters
mm-hmm.
on top of him, and his dog is like getting all freaked out and everything. So I don't know, it could be somebody like Monica was saying earlier that was there helping him for special effects, whatever, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, a dog doesn't get that freaked out that easily, I don't think. Unless you're blowing like a dog.
I mean, if the dog can get that freaked out, that dog deserves an award.
Like that's, yeah, like that's a warning sign.
Give that dog an Oscar.
Deserves it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's really, really, really hard to like record this stuff. I feel like it's spontaneous, in my opinion, because like I see shit all the time, and it's like I never caught it on camera before, and it's happened to me like not my entire life, but since like high school. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, suspicious. Like, suspicious yeah. that you guys are like able to record. Yeah, because it's all this stuff on camera. Like, how do you do that?
I don't know. Like, well, I guess like, one more thing, if you guys don't mind spending a few more minutes with us. I have weird dreams sometimes, mm-hmm. and I don't know what causes them. I have an incident where, I mean, Monica already knows the story. But I was allegedly cursed by an ex a long time ago, and so I like she did the whole like Hispanic brujería thing, or like, you know, amarre, whatever they want to call it, allegedly. So I went to this lady and she did her little ritual where she cleansed me, whatever. So that was that. But she told me like, you're always like, you are, and regardless of whether that this is true or not, I'm not really looking to explore that kind of stuff. But she said that, you know, oh, like, if you want, I could train you how to be a curandero. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that for my, in my life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, having, like, all the, what do you call those, details of that aside, you know, I really don't want to get involved in that because, I mean, I would feel like I'm ripping people off, honestly. I don't feel like I have any, like, yeah. any kind of special energy. I mean, I'd be lying to somebody if I told them, oh, yeah, I can see your future. Like, I don't think I can do that at all. I can't even see my future. but I can't get my life together. Imagine somebody else's. But she told me that I would always have, like, weird dreams, stuff like that. And every now and then, like, I don't know if it was you or somebody else that asked. I don't think it was you, but somebody asked about if we had had any paranormal experiences. And I replied with this because, you know, I felt whatever, but I just wanted to bring it up since we're talking about everything. That every now and then I have dreams about either what I think is the devil or demons. And it might be just mm-hmm. me, like, having...
I have demonic dreams, too.
Yeah, like living my life in my dream, just kind of, like, whatever I'm doing, shopping or whatever it is that I'm doing. And then I feel, like, this super negative energy, kind of, like, around me. It feels, like, really overwhelming. And I know something is coming my way to, like, quote-unquote attack me. And I feel like a force kind of pushing me, and I see, like, I can't see their face. I see, like, a shape, and it always looks, like, really big and bulking. And then I'm trying to think in my dream, well, I need to fight this off, whatever, and I need to stay alive somehow or survive or get away from this. And then I wake up, and when I wake up, I'm in sleep paralysis mode. I can't move. And I feel that same, like, pressure in my chest, and I can't move, and I'm, like, kind of, like, trying to breathe, and I can't. And after a couple of minutes or whatever, like, I come to, and I was like, whoa, like, what was that? Like, so I don't know if it's just, like, my brain processing sleep paralysis while I'm asleep, and it's like, hey, like, you're not breathing, wake up, and I'm like freaking out in my dream, and then I wake up, or whatever, because that's what that lady said, that I would always have, like, a weird connection to that spiritual world, whatever, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into that.
Like, that sounds terrifying.
That's a little bit too extreme.
Speaking of, like, sleep paralysis, like, when was this? Yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday, because I took my daughter...
Saw your tweets.
Yeah, because it was yesterday, because I was, like, stressed all day. My daughter's been sick and stuff, and I had to take her to the doctor yesterday, and I took a nap before I had to take her to the doctor, and I woke up in sleep paralysis, and then I had a seizure, so that was fun. That was, like, terrifying, because it's, like, the first time that's ever happened to me. I have epilepsy for... people listening, and I get seizures every once in a while, but that was the first that I had, like, sleep paralysis, and then in sleep paralysis had a seizure, and I was like, this is a whole other level of hell I was not prepared for.
That's terrible.
But I survived. Terrified, but survived.
Monica, have you ever had any weird experiences in the dream world?
In dreams? Yeah, I have really vivid dreams, like, all this, there's this one though that, like, still sticks with me, that I had just moved into, like, this house, and it's, like, my mom's old house, and I woke up and I saw something, like, in the corner, and, like, I woke up, like, the whole, like, I couldn't move, I was just kind of, like, frozen there. I kept seeing this thing, like, moving, like, closer and closer, but, like, really slow, and it was, like, completely, like, dark. It was, like, black. It was, like, a whole, like, it kind of looked like a, Like those green dudes, like the same type of suit, but black. And he had, like, the, like, as he got closer, started to see kind of more, like, what the shape was, and his head was, like, it kind of looked like he had one of those, like, court jester hats. It was super weird. Like, it was, like, the hair sticking out like that, or whatever.
The Joker.
Yeah. Like, it kept trying to grab my ankle or my foot. It started with, like,
oh hell no! Oh hell no!
The hands are getting, like, stronger and stronger, because at first, like, the grip was, like, very, very weak. Like, it was like he was distant. And then as I started getting, like, more scared, he started getting closer and closer. And then he grabbed my ankle and he started tugging. And when he did that, I saw his face, and, like, his whole face was painted, like, white, but it was, like, that crackly old paint looking thing.
Oh.
His, like, eyes were just, like, black, and then his teeth were, like, jagged. I realized that I couldn't move and I couldn't scream. Like, I kept trying to yell, but nothing came out. And I kept saying, like, leave me alone. Like, you're not real. You're fake. Like, just go away or whatever. And after a while, like, my voice started getting stronger and stronger. And I felt like it was my voice that was, like, fighting him, because I couldn't physically move. And at some point, like, the thing, you know, left, and, like, I woke up and I was, like, fine. But, like, I had a really, really bad This was in the middle of the night too. It was like 4 a.m. or like 3. So I woke up all like scared, like with like heart palpitations. Really bad. But I've seen things like that a lot. Like it's not the first time that it happens. And every time it's just very like I just feel like weird, like something really negative was like over me or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a very interesting episode. Thank you very much, Christina and MG, for joining us. I can't really express my gratitude, my fanboyism, that I am actually speaking to you. Thank you very much for accepting. Do either of you have any final comments? Maybe how can people find you on Twitter or social media?
Yeah, just Spooky Tales altogether for Twitter and Instagram. SpookyTales.com, our website. But yeah, this was fun. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Yes, I really had a great time. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. So once again, thank you very much for joining us, and hopefully we can try this similar time in the future, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful night. All
right, bye.
Bye.
Everybody, so that was our rather lengthy but very interesting and very informative and really, really above anything. I don't know about you, Monica, but fun. I had a great time speaking to Monica. I had a great time speaking to MJ and Christina. I always have a great time speaking to Monica, but but yes, MJ and Christina were awesome. I really appreciate them taking the time to join us for this. I really hope they join us again sometime in the future, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they think we are as cool as we think they are.
Yeah, they're really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So, any conclusive remarks, Monica, to that segment, or anything you think you might have missed?
No. I mean, I think we covered a bunch of different stuff. I really like the story that you shared, the one about the, what was it? I don't remember the name of the person. Aztec, I guess, like.
Oh, the right? You mean like the vampire witch thing?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. Hang on. That's kind of like a complicated word for me. It's
Nahuatl. Or
well, Nahuatl is the language, but.
Right. Uh huh.
But the creature they call it Tlahuelpuchi or Tlaltepuchi, or it's also known as Mometzkopinki. I'm not fluent in Nahuatl at all, mind you. I'm just kind of pronouncing these words as I think they are pronounced, because I mean, growing up in Mexico, I kind of heard some of these, and you still hear some of this. A lot of cities and places in Mexico are still named using words from that language.
Yeah.
Like Ciudad Neza, which is abbreviated for Nezahualcóyotl.
Oh.
Which
nice.
Is kind of like that's kind of a mouthful for people that are not familiar with that, but that's kind of the language of our ancestors, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm very proud of having that heritage in me.
Yeah.
And, well, let's go ahead, Monica, and you got any shout-outs for tonight?
Your little brother! Like, so he shared the podcast to my dad in our family group chat. And it's funny because, like, I went on the messages and then I just see, like, our link, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, dude, listen to podcast, and he's like, oh yeah, sometimes. He's like, but I was trying to get it to my dad, wanted to get the link, so I was like, oh cool, like I got some family support, so thank you guys.
Nice. Thank you, Monica's little brother.
Mm-hmm. And my dad too.
And also Mr. Casanova. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, by all means, do what they did and share our links, you know, just click a button here and spread the love, spread the joy. Let's make mm-hmm. this EMBO squad grow by the thousands.
Yes.
So I don't think I have any shout-outs for today, which is the first for us.
Oh my god, it's gonna rain in California.
Maybe that's what we need to end this heat wave, because it's been crazy.
Yeah.
We need some rain or snow or something bad down here because it's been ridiculously hot.
It's freaking, it's like a drought. Like, it's like dry as hell. Like, it never rains. I think it sprinkled the other day and that was it. That's as much rain as we got so far. So I don't mind borrowing some of yours.
I mean, of course, I mean, the obvious shout out would be to once again thank Christina and MJ for joining us. And basically everyone that's been following us on Twitter, dude, we surpassed 900 followers already.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
Now, we need to get all those 900 people to listen to our podcast on a weekly basis, and we'll be golden.
Nice.
I mean, I think enough of them do already, but we could always use more. I mean, there's...
Yes, of course. The more the merrier.
Yeah, this is that time where that saying, nada con exceso does not apply. We need all the excess listeners we can get.
Todo con exceso, nada con medida. I would say that. I mean it this time.
All right, so let's go ahead, Monica, and remind our listeners once again of our social media accounts. We have our Facebook under... Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
All right, and the best moment in podcast broadcasting ever, the the website jingle, and I'm still gonna work in that cumbia, by the way. I'll make it happen. It's gonna happen at some point. I can't tell you when exactly, but it's gonna happen. We All right, are going to have a cumbia remix of our website jingle. So that URL is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
I like how you changed it up. Now you have like a little different pattern. It's slightly more energetic, but still not like...
As sweet as the other one.
Yeah. All right, Monica, so tonight was definitely a very special episode. I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, I think we did pretty good.
Of course we agree. Duh.
But we also have something special coming up for next time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to let our audience know a hint of what things may come for them?
Well, we're going to be talking about a very some stories very, very deep to our heart, you know, our childhood, and, you know, it's very meaningful. But also scary. But yeah, do we say that we're gonna do it? Like,
I mean, there's no spoilers because I mean, I guess we can let the cat out of the bag on this one.
Okay, so we're doing a live streaming, or live video, like watch party type of thing, of us watching. So yeah.
Well, I'm gonna beep out the name of the movie because you were doing great up to that point. I mean, it's cool. I mean, like, because it's the first time you're down here since we started this.
Yeah.
I think. So we're gonna do a live / whatever reaction. Watch party thing. We're gonna have food, snacks, maybe a couple of drinks. I mean, who knows?
I requested menudo, I think, right? Or pozole from your mom.
Pozole, yes.
Let's hope that happens. I'm super excited.
I will try my hardest to make that happen for you, my friend, even if I have to make it myself.
Sounds good.
So, yes, that was our news. I mean, big news for us, I think. And, well, that was our episode. We want to thank everybody that took some time to listen to us. We hope you enjoy the content. We covered pretty much, I want to say, all the bases when it comes to weird, paranormal, and well, I don't think we talked about cryptids, but... it is what it is. So, yes, I want to thank everybody who took time to listen to us once again. And I want to wish everyone a great evening, morning, fireside storytelling session like we just did. Whatever you're up to, be good to yourself, to... others around you, and we'll see you in the next one. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.